Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Annotated 911. I'm Fradit, and I'm here with my co-host,
Gloria Spoon.
And today we're talking about season 9, episode 8 of 911, War, in heavy quotations.
It's very warlike.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, from the first, I think this has my favorite fight in the entire series. The one between Hen and Chim, which I love so much and is so agonizing to watch.
It's a really good fight. And there's a lot of twists and turns in it too.
Yeah. Like, I think my favorite thing about it is that it kind of starts with the same pattern that their disagreements often do, where they show up, he shows up, he's apologizing, they're talking about their feelings, they're validating each other, they're talking about how they're best friends and they love each other so much and they're going to be so supportive, and then it all goes to shit, which I kind of love. Like, and they get mean.
Yeah, Hen especially gets very mean.
She gets so mean, and I love that. I mean, it's agonizing, obviously, but it's so great that, like, she knows him so well, and that's why she can kind of skewer him with this kind of devastating accuracy. She knows exactly what his anxieties and insecurities are about becoming the captain, and that's what she goes for. And yeah. I just love it. It was so fucking mean.
It was so mean, and she was so wrong the whole time. And it's great.
I found
it very interesting. I noticed this time around, like, when Athena confronts him, which, by the way, Buck and Eddie both, like, pestering each other and then the reveal to Athena, like, stomping in, like, where is he? That is one of the funniest gags they've ever pulled in the whole show. You go talk to him.
And their running chain of command argument, which is just so funny.
Yes, yes, absolutely delightful. But I noticed that, we'll get to that later, I'm sure.
Yep.
I noticed that both with his talk / argument with Athena and his, like, drag down knockout fight with Hen, he keeps saying that they're right. He's like, you're right, you're right, la la la. But he doesn't actually think that, because when push comes to shove, he's like, no, I made the right call,
and you can't be back at work. Like,
yes. Well, and I would say, here's my nuance to that, is he's mostly right. He's a little wrong in that in the United States of America, you shouldn't fire your sick friend who has good health benefits as a firefighter.
Right, but
you should just put her on extended leave. But he was right to take her off the team.
Yeah.
And, like, say she can't work. Like, obviously she can't work.
Right. And that's kind of what he's saying when he comes back to her house to apologize. He's basically implicitly, at least, giving her job back, but you can't go back to work.
Yes.
You know? Like,
yeah.
And that's the part where she's kind of blindsided. She's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna obviously have my appointments, have my days off.
Which is insane.
But she's not willing to, like, contend with the reality of it, even though she's kind of pretending she
even though she now. Fully passed out at a fire, luckily outside the building.
But yeah, no, I think that's such an interesting thing about Chim, because that's his kind of instinct, I think, is And I would say almost a character flaw of his is that he's kind of he wants to not fight. He wants to make things right. He'll say whatever it takes to keep the peace in a lot of cases, even if that's not really what he thinks. He just wants them to be cool. He wants them to be on solid ground again. And so that makes it kind of interesting that in that second fight with Hen, he doesn't back down and he doesn't go like, OK, yeah, I guess you can come back, whatever. He kind of sticks to his guns there.
Yeah.
Which is obviously the only responsible thing for him to do, but I think that was tough for him.
Yeah. Well, and, like, so, like, that's kind of the irony there, right? Because she's sitting here, like, stabbing him with this, you're a bad captain line.
in this moment where he is being a very good captain.
Yeah. And this is like the hardest version of him being a good captain that we've seen him have to tackle so far, which is that he has to stand up to Hen of all people and be like, no, you're wrong here. And I can't trust you to be on the team right now. And you're not being objective. And this is the call that I have to make as the captain of all these other people. I have to consider their safety and the safety of the people whose lives we're entrusted with.
And your safety,
Hen. And you're not being objective here. Your call is because he thinks Hen is so, so smart, because she is. Like, frequently her calls are the right call. But in this instance, she's not being objective.
Yeah. And I mean,
he sticks to his guns.
We've had this conversation between them back in season 5 when he's like, of course, you're right. You're Hen.
Yeah.
You know, like when she had the Jonah suspicions, he backs her up unquestioningly, even though it was an objectively in the moment seemed like an insane call to make, because she usually is right, because she is so smart and so competent.
Yes.
But in this moment, she can't be objective about it.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good stuff. And it's the Hen and Chim plot is kind of the only good stuff in this episode.
Unfortunately.
The rest of it's kind of a steaming turd. Okay, but here's my hot take. Here's my hot take. I think they should have saved the AI takes over the call center plot. I think it would have made a great season opener arc.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you could have really milked that.
Yes. Well, and I think I got the impression from the trailers, and I saw the way I saw other people talking about it. I think everybody got this same impression, or like more than just me, at least. The trailer was very misleading in that it kind of seemed like, the two teams would be much more connected in that fighting the AI plot, where like, they're like sending, like the AI is like doing all sorts of stuff around town, and they are like running around trying to put out fires that the AI is causing. And like, you know, it's like, we're all in it together against this, which is why it would be such a cool opening emergency. Like, you could make this really big.
Yeah, it could. It had the potential to cause a big mess. So,
yeah. But instead, they didn't start it right away. They had a full no AI call with Maddie at the start of the episode. And then, like, I was for a little while, I was like, wait, did I remember which episode the AI thing in? It was wrong. Did I remember it wrong?
Fully forgotten that that was this episode until we got to it.
Yeah. And then they started and I was like, oh, they're like,
it's way in. It's like it's almost way halfway in.
So I think that was bad choice number one. But yeah, then they just like truncate it to just like this like one thing. And then Maddie pulls a Captain Kirk and convinces the computer to kill itself.
That was pretty great, I gotta be honest.
I just want to get in a room with Tim. I mean, there's many reasons I want to get in a room with Tim and ask him various things. But like, Tim, what is it? What's gotten into you lately where you've decided that Maddie has the ability to solve any problem by talking someone into killing themselves? This is like a weird, very strange Two Nickels.
It's happened a few times.
This is a really weird Two Nickels situation we've stumbled upon.
Just because she's such a good dispatcher. She can use her powers for good or evil.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I do. I think it would have been a really fun opening emergency where.
Yeah, you really could have like spread that out and had it cause much bigger problems than it did.
Causing
and, like,
huge
obviously,
issues.
They couldn't do that in this episode because that's the B plot. And
yeah, no,
it could have been so good as an A plot, I think.
It could have been really good as an A plot. And I feel like you might it would be even better as like a 2-episode sort of thing where it seems like it's going fine for a little bit longer or whatever, right. But then like, oh no. And you know, then they have to start like figuring out ways to like, you know, she like how she had to call him on the cell phone, but you know, like they're having to like send the teams like around to different, you know, all the different ways that they'd have to learn to collaborate with each other outside right. of this hostage CAD system. And like, you know,
I mean, that I could know. Have been since Maddie ends up in charge at dispatch later.
Yeah.
Also, that could have been a really fun kind of thing to play with there.
True. Like you could totally, and they didn't, they could have done it here, but they really didn't like combine that, this plot from this episode with that later plot of her getting put right. in charge of dispatch, but it really could have been, it could have been like a bigger moment of her really showing that she has yeah. the wherewithal and like proper brain space to be the one that's in charge of this building, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar to that that plot Josh got a few seasons ago where he's running the entire show with basically in the dark.
Yeah.
With that kidnapping.
Yeah.
And that was a really great moment for him. And it would have been cool to see something similar with Maddie.
Yeah. They had Sue like sprinkle in that line, like, I was skeptical of CAD at first. And I'm like, no, you weren't. And no point would anybody be like, oh, I don't know about this. I think we need to stick with paper maps. What are you talking about? Like,
at least they came down on the anti-AI side yeah. of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have had to riot otherwise.
Oh, that fucking Preston guy. Let's kill him.
Tech bros are bad. That's a stance I can get behind.
Yeah. And they've taken that stance like twice now in this one season. So I'll take it. Okay, I want to go back to the opening Eddie, Buck and Eddie chain of command.
Eddie's theme. Such a fucking hypocrite.
He's such a hypocrite and he's so full of shit.
He doesn't even believe, like, it's so funny because he's like, even as he's saying it, he's like, well, this is right, probably. I don't know. I mean, he still shouldn't have fired her, but I guess.
This yes.
is probably the rules that are good. I wouldn't know. I've never met a rule that applied to me, but they're good for other people, probably.
Yeah, rules are good for other people, but not him, because he's a beautiful prince.
And then, yeah, Buck just giving him shit about it. I love that. It
oh, absolutely. So we're a paramilitary organization. He's like, so is the mob. I'm fully on Buck's side.
I am too, but I do like that it kind of, it's a really funny scene, and it's a really great like little friendship moment of them bickering, which
yes.
I have missed dearly.
Yeah.
But it does really kind of show the differences in their just general perspective on things, on how things have to work. Like Eddie wants a system. He wants the rules to exist. He doesn't always necessarily follow the rules, but he wants them to be there. Whereas Buck is like, I will work within this as much as I absolutely have to do what I think needs to be done. But he doesn't otherwise give a shit about them.
Yeah, exactly. He's following them for his own convenience, as is necessary.
Yeah.
He's not like, and there are like, you know, Buck is very much like a show me why the rule is necessary and good, and I'll follow it staunchly, you know, like, which is like why he turns himself into Chim later in the season. Because it's yeah. like, he knows.
Because he knows, yeah.
He knows but he can't that, be. You know, those sorts of rules are there to keep the people that they serve and his teammates safe.
Yeah.
He knows why that rule exists. But, like, he's fully aware that sometimes rules are bullshit.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll still follow those ones, but only as it serves his goals.
Yeah. Yeah, and Eddie is also aware that rules are sometimes bullshit, but he'll just ignore them without kind of trying to interrogate the entire structure that put them in place. That's just not how he approaches things, I think.
Yes. Well, and I think Eddie wants the rules to make sense.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I'm being like totally clear here, but like,
no, that makes sense to me.
He wants he wants the rules and the systems, like, he wants to believe they make sense.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting.
So he just does believe they make sense and that they're good.
We get to his perspective towards the end of the season where he's so angry and betrayed at people falling through the cracks of the systems that are supposed to serve them and help them.
Yeah.
After kind of being like, this is good. Rules are good. Systems are good. That's for support. It's a positive thing. And then he keeps seeing them fail and he's like really upset about it.
As he should be.
As he should be. But like, he's almost betrayed about it. He's like,
yes,
what the hell? This is supposed to help people.
Yeah. Well, and because, you know, Buck approaches like rules and systems very pragmatically, and Eddie approaches them almost with a sense of faith.
Yeah.
There's kind of a religiosity to it where he's like, I believe in the institution of the army, or I believe in the institution of the chain of command as it pertains to our job, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and even in this scene, he's kind of uncomfortable because he does believe in the chain of command, but he also thinks that Jim made the wrong call.
Yeah, and he doesn't
So he's kind of, like, uncomfortably trying to edge around the contradiction there.
Yeah, and he's, like, he's unwilling to sort of look directly at it and, like, come to the same conclusion as Buck has, which is chain of command is bullshit.
Necessary in some situations, but
yes, because, like, you know, in their sort of like high stress emergency situation job, you do need somebody who's in charge and is making the calls.
Yeah,
because you can't have like five cooks in the kitchen,
right?
Nothing will get done efficiently, and, you know, that there's a reason it operates as a paramilitary organization, because, you know, when things need to happen quickly and in a specific way, that sort of hierarchy allows for that to happen on more smoothly and on a more predictable basis. It's just
right. Because you can't just have people running off and doing their own thing in the middle of a building fire or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. Which, you know, the people on this team often do that anyway.
Well, yeah.
I think most of them. I think most of them have at least once
of running it. I think it maybe even burning buildings specifically, running in without backup
you know. But
certainly both Buck and Eddie have done that.
Hen has too. She did Hen it with has. Gerard.
Yeah.
Chimney did it with Gerard. Also ran into the building to save the funniest dummy of the funniest Tommy dummy. In the
So, like, they've all been there.
So, but, you know, that's like the American culture of our media is sometimes the you cowboy. Just gotta lone wolf it. Be a cowboy. And, you know, I mean, in all those specific situations,
it was the right call. Yeah.
I don't disagree with the fictional situations they made up for that. So that's the power of writing. But yeah, I just love when Eddie's just a fucking hypocrite.
He often is. And it's so funny. It's like such a consistent and hilarious trait of his.
Yes. Yes. I'm obsessed with him.
Aren't we all?
let me look at my notes. It was so funny, the divorced couple call where they're just like, it's very funny when they decide to be extremely on the nose and like they rip a car in half.
The King Solomon solution.
Yeah. Where they're like, get it? Get it? And it's like, yeah, I got it. You don't have to jab me in the ribs. But it's delightful. It's delightful.
It was very funny. Like, it was just an incredibly funny call, I thought. And, you know, we get Buck with his little tools digging her out of the back of the car, which is always fun.
Yes. I always love calls where Buck gets to think outside the box and be a mad genius and be like, well, what if we just cut through the back of the car? It's just so great. Okay, back to the AI thing. I just, The whole intro scene where he's like, who among us hasn't used AI?
I'm like, many, actually.
Who hasn't used AI to check out what the thing on their skin is? And I'm like, Josh, please go to a real dermatologist. Jesus Christ. The AI told me it was a skin tag. It's fine. Okay. Well, maybe go check for real. They'll probably like cut it off and send it to an actual pathologist to look at with their human eyeballs. Jim was so cute with his gift basket.
He was. I felt so bad for him that whole scene.
Yeah.
It's like you know it's going to go sideways like right from the start, but they kind of suck you in with it.
Yes. Like, yeah. And he just, like, they're both so good in that scene. And he's just like, you know, they're hugging and crying and just,
it's emotionally supporting each other.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just so clear that they don't want to be fighting.
Yeah.
They love each other so much.
It's so funny to me, though, that, like, the minute Hen and Jim are having a serious conflict, everybody gets involved. It's like, oh, God, this is not okay. We need to fix this immediately.
Yeah.
Like full-scale intervention for a friendship spat.
Yes. That's a foundational relationship there to the rest of the team.
Mom and dad are fighting kind of deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, like, I'm trying to think, I don't feel like it would be the same level of emergency if Buck and Eddie were fighting.
It's not. It never is. Every time they are fighting, everybody's like, wow, that seems like a you problem. Nobody wants to get involved in that.
Good luck, guys. Hope you work it out. Maybe try elsewhere. Marriage counseling.
But yeah, that the intervention scene also was like so funny.
The
introduction.
Like, yeah, like, the intro scene is so funny. Buck and Eddie especially with their just like little like their charcuterie.
And he's just like starts stuffing his face so he doesn't have to talk. Athena invited us.
Don't look at me. It's not my fault. Athena told me to come here. They both look like dogs that have been caught digging in the trash. Like they're like little sideways glances with their eyebrows.
And Jim is his like dawning realization and outrage the whole time.
Yeah. And then it turns out it's for both of them.
Yeah.
And that scene is absolutely phenomenal. Aisha knocked it out of the park with her speech.
So good. I love that she has this whole like angry speech about how nobody's paying attention to her and she's had to go on her own. And then she kind of tries to get up to, like, do the righteous, like, I'm slamming my way out of the room. And then she just collapses.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good, I guess, way of displaying that her perspective here isn't completely accurate, even if that's very much how she actually feels.
Yeah. This is a real therapy moment of, like, your feelings are valid because in that you're feeling them.
However...
But not all of your logic is sound.
Yeah.
Because, like, even in this, like, beautiful epic speech, like, so much of what she's saying is just, like, completely logically flawed. Where Eddie's like, I wish you would have told us. And she's like, you didn't ask. And it's like, Hen, you just talked 2 seconds ago. You were talking about how you were purposefully hiding it from everybody so it wouldn't hurt their feelings.
Right. However, that feeling is so, I mean... And it's great that Eddie specifically gets that line because that's exactly what he was doing.
Yes.
At the end of season 8, he was hiding his feelings and then he was so hurt that he wasn't being asked about them or pushed on them.
Yes.
And it's the same thing that Hen is doing here is like she's hiding it on purpose, but she's so scared and lonely in it that she feels rejected.
Yes.
Even though that's nobody's intention.
Well, and she feels rejected because she's purposefully hiding it like
right yeah she's isolating herself but
yes well and like who among us
is scary.
Like
how many who among us right
how yeah. many Tumblr posts have we all seen about like I'm self-isolating again why do I feel so lonely you know
like well like we've all been there but
yes you know, there, I think it is just like a really,
it's a very common, human, yeah, it's a very human instinct, I think.
Yeah, to like, you know, want the people who love you to just read your mind. And
yes, especially when it's something that's so scary to confront or talk about yourself. Like, I mean, yeah, that's part of, like, obviously she is sort of telling the truth that she didn't want to put this on them, especially after Bobby. She didn't want to scare everyone.
Yeah.
And also that she didn't want to be benched, which was definitely part of it.
Yes.
But it's also, I think, for her, it was just too terrifying to confront on her own. She needed somebody to push her on it because it was too scary otherwise. And
yeah,
nobody knew, so nobody could.
Yeah, if she comes to Chim and she's like, hey, I'm sick, you need to bench me, then it's, like, real.
Yeah.
But if she, you know, like, not telling anybody and being like, oh, I'll tell them when I figure out what it is, you know, like that.
That gives, like, the illusion of control too, which is very important to her, I think.
Yes, it makes her feel like she's in control of it, and it makes it seem like not a big deal.
Yeah.
To herself. Like, oh, you know, I just need to figure out what it is, and, you know, and then I'll bring it to everyone's attention if it even turns out to be a thing that needs to be have attention
even
brought
though,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she very much knows.
Because I could figure
knows.
It out, and it's not a big deal. And it's like, Hen, you passed out on the floor for hours.
Yeah, and I mean, she says even in her speech, she's like talking about how scary it was and how she kept getting new symptoms, and she didn't know which one was going to, you know, ruin her life or kill her. It's like, that's not a woman who didn't realize this was serious. She knew. It's just, it was terrifying.
No, like, but there, that's like the cognitive dissonance.
Right.
That,
yeah, exactly.
That, you know, has the potential to exist within all of us when we're like dealing with hard shit, where it's like, you know, half your brain is like, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, like, if I just like sweep it under the rug constantly, it's like, it's fine. You know, and there's like a big mound under the rug that you're like,
tripping
ignoring.
Over.
Yeah, tripping over and passing out for hours.
Yeah.
But then, yes, like at the exact same time, she's feeling scared and terrified and worried and like alone. And, you know, even though she's on purpose made herself alone in this.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just,
you know, she's lying to her. Right. She's lying to her wife. She's lying to her mom about these symptoms that she's experiencing. So like she is like, it's not even like, oh, it just didn't come up and like people didn't notice. She's like actively deceiving the people closest to her so that
on
they
purpose,
don't know
yeah.
about this, and then yelling at them
for not knowing,
which is great. It's great.
It's,
like
I love when Hen, because I think sometimes this show does kind of lean a little too hard into making Hen the one who's always got it together, who's always calm and supporting other people. And and can always push through her own shit to say the right thing and be there for people and be what people need. And
yes.
I kind of love her just being a complete fucking mess and having everyone show up for her and having her be angry and unfair and terrified and not know what to do and kind of not being very kind to anybody and have them still show up for her and love her and give her what she needs and give her the support she needs. Like, that's, to me, for this character specifically, that was so important because I think she does kind of get the short end a little bit. Sometimes.
Yeah, totally. Because, like, that's the thing is, like, in this specific instance, she's, like, technically wrong for being, like, nobody checked on me because she's actively hiding from them.
Right.
But that feeling is not a new feeling.
Yeah,
it's like when
I mean,
she's like
the birthday
she's like,
episode, the last season, her birthday episode, which is kind of a funny. It's presented as funny, but it's sort of the same thing, right?
Yeah,
it's like
when she's barfing up all these feelings at them in this like culminating speech, she's not actually just talking about this one thing,
right?
She's
right.
talking about an entire series worth of things that have been
the expected dynamic, and she knows it.
Yeah. And so, like, in that way, she's right.
Yeah.
So it's really great, like you said, she's having this like righteous speech where she's like unloading all of these like complicated emotions, and it is sort of this like victory moment for her, and then she falls down and passes out again, and it sort of like undercuts that, where it's like, no, but she's not okay, and she's not right that, like, you know, that, you know, like everything that Chim should have not benched her, and that, you know.
Right.
But then it doesn't, it like none of that matters. Like they're all still there to like still help her. Yeah. And, you know.
Yes, exactly.
And it's really beautiful. Like that's the, that's family. Like,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And that they kind of all know why she did that. Like nobody needs her to explain herself or grovel or whatever. It's just like, oh, of course. You were scared. You felt alone. You needed us. And
yes,
even if we didn't know we had to be there, we weren't there. So now we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, it's not worth like quibbling over, like I'm quibbling over the technicalities because I'm not a person in the conflict. I'm an audience member. So I can sit here and be like, well, technically, that wouldn't be helpful at all as a person in the actual relationship. Right. And so, yeah. And again, who among us?
Yeah.
And for, you know, someone like Eddie, especially, or like Buck, you know, like they're all of them chose this like same job. So they all have kind of similar personality traits in several ways.
They've all got the same instinct. Like they get it. They get why she did it, even if they all know it was not the right way to react.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's just this really beautiful thing of where they all come together for her. And it's like, okay, like, and we touched on this several episodes ago, but like, this is sort of, you know, Eddie's like, I wish you told us. And, you know, I think I said they're all this whole time, they all have been willing to step in and help each other.
Right. But not to ask for help.
But not to ask for help. Like none of them, you know, she's like, none of you asked how I was. And it's like, yes, that's true. But they also weren't asking, how's Chimney? How's Buck? You know, they weren't, how's Eddie? Like they weren't, because they all sort of are like, well, we all feel like shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, at that point, it's kind of like, there's no point in asking. Because we all are feeling really shitty about Bobby being dead and everything being weird and wrong and bad because of it. Like, we all know that we all feel shitty, so.
Right.
So at that point, it's like, well, if something's, like, more shitty than the baseline level of shit we're all feeling, like, you need to say something. But, like, none of them are willing to be, like, they're all sort of that same person where they're like, I'm not willing to, like, rock the boat and, like, put my shit on everybody else because I know how shitty everybody else is already feeling.
Right. And like Hen doesn't want to be a burden, but none of them want to be a burden to the rest of them. Yeah. And I think that that's kind of what they ultimately learn through this arc is that they need to be doing that. They need to be willing to burden their friends and the people they love and allow their friends the opportunity to show up for them and be there for them.
And so I think the like surface level lesson is, oh, we need to be checking on our friends more and like making sure they're okay or whatever. But like if somebody had been like, Hen, are you okay?
She would have like, lied. Yeah, great. Yeah.
She would have been like, I'm fine. But until Karen found out and like was like, you need to go talk to Chimney. But like
And like it's notable that Karen, who knows her wife very well, is not like, oh, are you okay? She's like, you are not okay.
Yes.
And you are going to handle this.
Yes. And so I think the actual deeper lesson is, yes, we need to be checking on our friends. But then the deeper, more personal lesson is, oh, we need to be telling people when we're not okay and we need help.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they won't know.
Right. And I mean, that's the lesson Buck takes later on in the season where he doesn't just wait for somebody to show up and ask him how he's doing. He's like, yeah, I can't handle this on my own. I need to go tell someone.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I do love that thread that they've weaved from here to there.
Yeah.
Where Buck is able to learn a lesson from this and actually use it to make sure they're all okay faster.
Yeah.
When he starts having a problem that he, and I do think there is like, he's already like prone to asking for help more readily than many of the other characters are.
Yeah. I think it's not a pride thing for him in the way that it is for Hen.
Yeah. Or Eddie.
Yeah.
Or Bobby.
Jim, or Athena. Jim, I think, is more on Buck's wavelength with that.
It's like Jim and Buck on one side, everybody else is on the other side. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about this fucking Eddie plot.
Oh, God. It's so bad. So bad. I hate so much that so many of the like emotionally significant Eddie moments are so much about this military warship. It's that and the propaganda is one of the most frustrating threads that this show consistently does.
Yeah. It's really, really frustrating. Yeah. The consistent valorization of the whole deal.
Like, it's not a good thing that you were in Afghanistan, actually. That's not a mark in your favor, man. That you were a combat medic in Afghanistan is something that you should maybe not feel great about, actually.
Yes. And I do think the fandom, like, consistently, like, wants to make him not feel, like, they like to write him as
ashamed of it.
More progressive than he actually is.
He feels fine about his military service.
He feels fine about
actively it. Positively about it. He thinks it's a good thing and he thinks the military is good. And this is consistent with him.
Yeah. You know, whenever he runs into another vet, like, it's like two dogs wagging tails at the dog park. He's like, oh, I'm also in the military. He's just like, he default assumes that anybody who was also in the military is like automatically a good person until proven wrong.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, in fairness, is a knock on the kind of milquetoast centrist bullshit that this show kind of likes to pull in general.
Oh, totally. Yeah. This show's got gay people, but it's not.
It's not what I would consider iconoclastic.
Yeah. But yes, so they've got this PTS. It's just like a really bog standard American plot.
Yeah.
Of soldier with PTSD suffering so terribly for his country. And I don't want to diminish the very real mental health struggles that veterans have, but there is just like individual human people, but there is this
uncritical valorization of the military itself as like this difficult but necessary good is, I'm not a fan of that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and they also use this to introduce Alex.
Yeah.
I knew from like the moment she got introduced that she was being introduced as an Eddie romantic interest.
Oh, so obviously, yeah.
So I feel very Captain Holt vindication.gif that we did get confirmation on that.
Yeah.
Because it was very blatantly obvious to me, just the way the writing around her was, where it's like, oh, she's here, and like they're like purposefully connecting her to Eddie in this plot.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got like a job that could potentially like keep her around in the show and like bring her in
right
more frequently. You know, that's how they did it with Taylor. That's how they did it with Anna.
Much more effectively with Taylor, in my opinion.
Yes, much more effectively.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem, like, right from the get-go, is that she sucks at her job. And
yes.
It's in a way that is clearly, we're clearly not meant to think that she sucks at her job. However, she is set up as being in the wrong, so Eddie can have the more correct and, like, deeper, more meaningful response that works.
Yes.
But she's supposed to be the expert. Like, she should know that her approach is insane and bad.
Yes. Like, they're like, here she is. She's a trained social worker and she knows all the things. And then she proceeds to do exactly the wrongest possible thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I were talking about this last night. We cheated and talked about it. But I was like, this is very similar to Frank, who is, in real world scenarios, just a garbage therapist. He's terrible at his job. One of my other fandom friends is a trauma therapist, and she hates Frank. She's like, she can't watch any of his scenes, basically. She's just like, no, that's wrong. That would be so horrible. Like, he would never do that, like, you know, or say that or whatever. You know, it's like but in the universe of the show, he's supposed to be a good therapist.
Right.
Because actually good therapy is sort of boring on screen. So.
Right. And he is, he's there to kind of like move the other characters along.
Yes.
And force them to go have revelations that are actually interesting to watch.
Yes. And but in the plots of that Frank is involved in, he's never like shown to have said something wrong, like,
right,
or to have made the wrong call. But like with Alex,
call on screen is the wrong call.
They're trying to have their cake and eat it too, where she's correct and the expert, and we're not supposed to question that, even after, like, what's demonstrably shown is that her call was the wrong call.
Yeah.
And that, like, it made not things only would actively it be, worse.
Right. Not only would that not be the right call outside the universe of the show in the real world, it's not the right call in universe. Like, she's supposed to be this expert who's so good at her job, who makes this terrible call that almost gets her and Eddie and the guard killed.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But even after all that happens, the way it's framed is that we're supposed to, like, not pay attention to that.
Right. We're supposed to just believe that Eddie just has some kind of special knowledge that was necessary.
Yeah, like, but they're
that,
like, they're
that,
trying
that
to do
outshines
both.
Expertise. Yeah.
Like, they're trying to do both.
Yeah. It's
she's
not,
supposed
it's,
to, she's supposed to just still be technically correct and, like, is right and good at her job. But also Eddie brings this, like, something extra. But then when we move past that moment, we're not supposed to be like, wait, like, the thing she said almost got them killed. You're not supposed to think about that.
Right,
you're just supposed to be, you're supposed to be like, yay, and everybody wins. Like, that's, like, what they want to happen is, like, you're just supposed to uncritically, like, move through that moment and be like, wow, good job, everybody. And not be like, oh, so her idea was bad. Like, you're not supposed to have that thought. Like, you aren't supposed to think that.
It was so bad, though. And I think both because it was objectively such a bad idea and it so immediately went sideways in universe.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to not have that.
Oh, it's very hard.
Reaction.
It's very, very hard. But I can tell that they don't want us to have that thought. They don't want us to catch them doing a sexism.
Yeah.
Where the professional woman is being undermined by the man who doesn't have her same training and job credentials, but
is objectively right.
But he's right because he knows about war.
Right. Yeah.
Stand aside, woman. I've got it. I, as the war man, know what's best to do here.
That really was. It makes the scene so difficult to watch because, like, I promise I know I've been kind of dragging him this episode, but I love Eddie and he's my favorite character. And it's yes. just like, it's hard to watch your favorite character being misserved by yes. writing so badly.
No, exactly. That's the issue. That's, it's like, Eddie, my guy, what are they doing to you? It didn't have to be this way. And it's so like, I want to sit here and defend her for all of those reasons. But then I hate doing it because she is so boring.
She's so boring.
She's somehow the most boring of all of Eddie's romantic interests they've ever done, which is really saying something because both his other girlfriends were
had
so
no personality.
Boring. And she actually has like a job that's like, you know, like,
right,
doesn't
like this,
need to be boring.
This like, should have been a slam dunk, interesting character concept, even if yes. I wasn't sold on the romance. And yet yes. somehow, I mean, I think it's the same thing we were saying earlier, which is like they're sort of hamstrung by their need to make him better than her.
Yes.
And if they had been able to show her actually being good at her job and maybe even the actual expert in that moment who is in the right.
Yeah.
It would have held together a lot better, but they just could not let themselves do that.
Yeah. And I think part of it is the actress who's
part of it is the actress. She's not great, unfortunately.
Bringing absolutely nothing to the table. Like, I'm sorry if anybody likes that actress and disagrees, but for me, it's like the most bland milquetoast performance on a show that usually has very dynamic actors, right. even in guest parts, or especially in guest parts. Like frequently they bring in guest actors who just literally chew the scenery and it's very fun.
Yeah.
But
even in this very episode, like the divorced yeah. couple, they were both fantastic.
Yes. But she's like, I don't know. She doesn't feel, I don't believe her that she's confident and an expert and like intelligent and knows what she's talking about and like that she's got it. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't like, I feel, and half of that is the writing because they didn't write it in a way where she's like got command of the room and of the situation. And it's right. like, okay, everybody listen up. Here's what we're going to do. Like,
yeah, I mean, even in that intervention scene, the contrast between her and Athena, who is not technically running the scene, but
yes.
is clearly in command of the room, as she pretty much always is when she's in a room.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, is striking.
Yes.
And some of it is very much the actress, but I think some of it is also just how the character's being written, how the dynamic's being written.
Yeah, because like I don't like everything they are having her like say and do. Like Taylor is such a good foil for this because Taylor just had when they write Taylor, she has so much personality in like every line that she's saying.
Yeah.
There's like yeah. She has a point of view.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the point of view is exactly it because it makes the character consistent and it makes them interesting. Alex doesn't have a point of view. Alex kind of exists to do whatever needs to happen in the scene to make the yes. other characters do stuff.
Yes.
So it's impossible to really get invested in her as
yes.
as a character.
Yeah. She's and to her detriment, she's written as like furniture in like for yes. the scene. She's scaffolding. She's scene scaffolding instead of yeah. like another character that is dynamically interacting with the other characters.
Right.
All of her lines are exposition or yeah. just like something to move the plot forward or whatever. Like, and they can do those things and have personality and point of view, but they didn't give her any of that. Like,
yeah.
And it didn't work. And like, thankfully
they did figure out that it wasn't working. And
yeah.
shuffled
but
her
it
off.
Like yeah but like my it could have worked like they just did
they
a bad
have,
job
yeah.
writing
no
it.
it could have worked but
and frankly I think did a bad job casting it but
yeah.
Because she also just doesn't look like a social worker who works with the police response unit. I've never met a social worker that looks like that personally, and I've met a few, but
they look like librarians generally.
Yeah, like usually they're like, you know, I don't, but she looks like she should be at the club, and by club I mean country club. Like, but yeah, I don't like Alex. Sorry, Alex, you're boring, and they did you dirty with how they wrote you. So I can't like you. Josh had some banger one-liners in this episode, I have to say.
He did. He had some great lines.
Speaking
of a character who's always given perspective, even if he's not a major part of the scene.
Yes, exactly. Like, he's just there to, like, fling, you know, and I don't know. I guess there could be some commentary about how maybe it's a disservice to one of the canon gay characters that frequently his job is to serve sassy one-liners and not much else, but I always enjoy his sassy one-liners, so I can't be mad about it. at least he has a personality and a perspective, and he's like offering something entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Because, oh no, we need to talk about Hen's diagnosis, because it's like the most.
Oh God, yeah. Speaking of bad doctors.
This is just like, when he's.
It's like such hilarious TV doctor diagnosis. Like, give the worst case scenario first. You're going to die and degenerate and you'll be helpless and unable to do anything by yourself. Oh, but we can totally fix that.
Yeah. It's just such a, like, it's such a 911 choice. Because, like, they have the doctor come in and, like, I Googled it as soon as as soon as the episode ended, like, the first time around, to be like, what is this that they're pulling out here? And then you could tell it's just because they didn't want to be like, you've got cancer.
Yeah.
Because cancer's overdone. So they're, like, you know, setting some, like, they're setting people, like, onto WebMD, like, go onto WebMD and find us something that's not cancer that we can give to Hen caused by radiation. But it's just so, like, cancer would have made more sense here, I think, because cancer is something you can eradicate. But this guy comes in and he's like, here's your disease. It's progressive and incurable. And then they spend an episode showing that it's progressive and incurable. And then later,
and
she's
then
fine.
She's fine. Like, cancer can go in remission, you know?
Like, yes.
Like, we already have a character on 911 who is in remission from childhood cancer.
Yes.
That is a thing that can happen.
Yeah. And I do really, really think that, like, everybody was like, well, Hen's going to get sick. And they were like, we can't do cancer. Cancer's so, like, overdone.
But you should have done cancer.
If that wasn't a line in the writer's room when they were, like, breaking this story, I will eat my foot. Like, that. Somebody said that in the writer's room. They were like, we can't do cancer. Cancer's so overdone. But this is just such a weird, insane choice where it's just like, I don't know, just make something up at that point. Like,
They're not committed to medical realism to start with. It never happened. So.
No, absolutely. Just. So it's, again, that's why I say it's like it's such a 911 diagnosis they've chosen for her, where it's like, I just remember in watching it when it aired, and, like, so it was like a real reveal where the guy's like, it's progressive and incurable. And I was like, what? So what are they going to do? She's just going to get worse and, like, not. My immediate thought was, well, obviously she's just going to magically get better at it. And it's fine. And that's what happened, because it's 911. But it's just like, so then pick something better. I don't.
Pick something that's not progressive and incurable, maybe.
It's like, those are the words he said.
Yeah.
It's
and
progressive.
Those do mean things.
It's progressive and incurable. I was like, that's intense. You've really chosen something here, guys. Well, and then he starts to describe the symptoms, and it's like, you'll lose the ability to swallow and breathe. And it's like, okay. and slowly die. And she's like, so what are we going to do? And he's like, we're going to get you better. And I'm like, you just said. Anyway, I love this dumb show.
Exactly.
As I've said multiple times before, I know what show I'm watching. They know what show they're writing, and I know what show I'm watching, and we're all in agreement. So it's fine, but I still have fun.
It is funny. It is
funny. I still have fun calling them out on their foibles. It's such an unserious show sometimes.
It's so unserious, and it's the classic. I mean, it's great because they can do these like really heart-wrenching human moments and then pull shit like this. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that's my show.
Yeah. Which is also a heart-wrenching human moment, but it's just very silly at the same time where it's like, okay, I'll go along with you. Disbelief suspended. I'll allow it because I love you. Okay, I think that's everything on my list.
I think we've said everything I had to say anyway.
Yeah. This is a half good episode.
Half good is a good way of putting it.
Yeah. 50% of the episode is extremely good.
Yeah.
And it's paired with two plots, one of which is just not good. And one of which could have been good, but they utilized it in a way where it was never going to succeed. They just didn't give the AI plot enough breathing room to actually
cause havoc.
Yeah, to actually like live up to its fullest potential. And so ultimately, it's very silly. It's just like, really? Okay, you're talking it onto a thumb drive and smashing it with a hammer. Yeah, I guess that's fine. Yeah, so, like, ultimately, it's like, well, I'm glad that was over. Like, but it could have been awesome. Like, I maintain that it could have been as good as the bees.
It could have been great.
But, yeah. Okay. There's another episode. If you, for some reason, somehow found this not via already following one of us on Tumblr, that's where we live. So if you want to come tell us things or ask us things, we're on Tumblr. Thanks for listening.